Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and you're listening to Fire on the Earth. We've been, over the last week, been walking through the key readings from the Acts of the Apostles. We're celebrating this Easter season, which goes all the way to the day of Pentecost in particular, because it unfolds for us the way in which the Lord established the church. What were the fundamental realities, you might say, the pillars that he put down into the ground? What was the work that he gave the apostles to do? How did they do it? How did the Holy Spirit work through them? What was the message they preached? What was the cost they had to pay to go forward? In essence, what does the normal Christian life look like? The Acts of the Apostles, especially the beginning in particular, as the church is unfolding and the pieces are coming together, we get a picture of how the Lord was constructing the church and what does the normal Christian life look like? What's the central message that the church lives to communicate? How do they do it? How do they do it together? And so if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program over the last week, all of last week, I began to focus on some of the readings right from the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. And then yesterday took up chapter 3, where St. Peter and St. John encounter a crippled man at the gate, beautiful, and they pray and he's healed. And yesterday's program ended with this healed man that everyone pretty much knew who came in and out of the temple on a regular basis because he was there at the gate, beautiful, pretty much, it sounds like, on a daily basis. And he was jumping and leaping and praising God, and people were astounded, but he was clinging to Peter and John. And so a crowd started to gather, and Peter noticed it. So in some ways, the sign and the wonder, which was a manifestation of the presence of the kingdom, that confirmed the preaching of Peter, it confirmed what Peter said. Peter said, "What I have, I give you." The man asked for alms, and Peter said, "I don't have money, but I know what I do have. And what I have, I will gladly give you. In the name and the authority of Jesus, rise and walk." And Peter exercised the authority of the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus gave him, and the Holy Spirit worked a work, a sign and a wonder. And it's from that sign and wonder that testified, drew people's attention, the Lord's giving testimony that Peter and John are indeed who they say they are, and that God's hand is on their lives. And then the Lord gathers people to them. It's important to see and understand that this is happening in the Jewish temple. This is Jewish people, including Peter and John, Jewish men in particular, in the holiest place on the entire planet from the perspective of Jewish people. They're there at the temple in the holy city, the most important city, Jerusalem, in the Holy Land. And so this is a very Jewish moment, and the kingdom of God, the proclamation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Jesus as the Messiah, it first goes to Jewish people. I want to underline that because there's tremendous amount of confusion today on lots of different levels in the life of the church, which you realize, right? Most of you who are listening probably know. It's talked about here and lots of the programs, but you probably experienced some of it. And some of the most fundamental problems present in the church are that many of the baptized, and even some of the leaders of the church, have lost touch with what's at the essence of the church. Elements that are at the core, unchangeable realities, and things that the Lord wants present, always present in his church and manifesting in the life of the church all the way until he comes again. Let me give you an example. There was a study done, I think I might have touched on this a while back, a few years ago, by Ligonier. It's an organization. They do these big polls. It's called the State of Theology. And one of the things they do is they poll all kinds of people from different religious backgrounds, and they have a sizable Catholic audience that took part in the poll. And these are people who self-identify as Catholic. And they had a set of true-false statements in it. One of the statements, for example, was Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. So almost 60% of the Catholics who answered it in the poll said that that's a true statement, that Jesus was a great teacher, but that he was not God. Now, that's a fundamental thing a fundamental truth. You could not get something more central to the faith wrong than that, right? The incarnation, you know, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's right there in the creed. It's proclaimed by the apostles. It's everywhere. He's more than just a great teacher, which we know he was. But you think about the things Jesus said about himself and what the scripture says about him, for example. And this is the one the apostles preached. Peter, the very first preaching he ever gave that we talked about last week, he said that God raised up this man, Jesus, and that he's now Lord in Christ. He is indeed the Messiah of Israel. He's not just a great teacher. He's more than that. He's the one filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who died for our sins. He's the Lord of all. It's a title that makes him equivalent to God. And then not only that, all the things he said about himself. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the resurrection and the life. And the many titles given to him throughout the New Testament. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lion and the Lamb, the Bridegroom, the King and the Judge of the living and the dead. He's the second person of the Trinity. And to say that it's true that he's a great teacher, but that he is not God, is to totally miss the boat. And 60% of Catholics, just under 60% of Catholics who took part in this, again, self-identified Catholics, people who were practicing at some level, at least as they understood it, that was their answer. That's tremendous confusion. As we read Peter's preaching, as it unfolds, we'll see that this is the clarity about who Jesus is at the forefront of their mind. It's the core of their message. What's the core of their message? Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not just a great moral teacher. He's the Son of God. Jesus means what? He's the Savior, and he's the Savior of the world. And that's what they proclaim, that he was dead and now he's alive again. And that he's the Christ. He's the one filled with, that means Messiah, which means anointed. He's the one filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter had preached in that early chapters here of Acts that the reason the Holy Spirit was being poured out, the church was born, and the manifestations of the kingdom of God were going forth is because Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He's enthroned. All authority belongs to him. And he poured out the Holy Spirit. The Father gave over to him, Peter preached, the promise of the Holy Spirit that would enable people to come from death to life, that would empower human beings to become children of God who receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, and that he's Lord, and that under the Father's direction and his union with the Father from all eternity, Jesus now is the final judge of human history. And all this proclamation and signs and wonders vindicate all this about Jesus. And friends, until someone's really alive with this kind of realization about who Jesus is, they really don't have faith, even if they think they're Catholic. I mean, in some ways, they're unbelievers still. And so when we're in that condition, it's very rare to be bearing the fruits of the kingdom of God when you're walking in that kind of confusion. And you don't really have a message to proclaim other than, hey, Jesus was a great teacher, you know, like a lot of great teachers in history. That message is not a message the Holy Spirit's going to back like he backed St. Peter, and he's going to now as Peter begins to preach. Another thing to keep in mind was just a number of years ago, there was a bishop, this is very public knowledge, so a bishop, Edwin Kreutler, a German bishop, was a missionary in the Amazon for almost 30 years. And he was a very significant organizer in terms of having overall direction for the Amazon Synod that happened a few years ago. And he was talking to the press very boldly. He said, yeah, I've been a missionary for 30 years here among indigenous peoples, and I never baptized anybody. And he was happy about that. He was boldly proclaiming it because he doesn't think they need to be baptized because they have their own path in his mind to salvation. Or he doesn't want baptism could disrupt the indigenous spiritual history of that people. Or sometimes people, I've heard even way back when I was in the seminary, that the poor are already saved by virtue of being poor because they're so special in God's eyes. Tremendous, tremendous confusion there. Misplaced, you know, compassion, love, and concern. There's no greater message than the message that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we'll hear from Peter and others that all are called to be baptized. Remember Nicodemus having his conversation with Jesus? Nicodemus said, how can we be born again? Essentially, how can we be saved? Jesus said, very clearly, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, Jesus said. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We have flesh. We have living flesh. We have biological life. We have a biological clock that's ticking, right? And we all know we're going to die. Jesus came to deal with that very problem, the death problem produced by the sin problem. And what he brought to human life is a new creation. He brought a life that will never die. That's God's life in a person, Jesus himself. And through his life, passion, death, and resurrection, rising from the dead, he has the power of an indestructible life and to give that life to whomever he chooses. And he said, this is how people come into receiving that life. As Peter preached, they repent of their sins. They're baptized for the forgiveness of sins and for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the essence, friends. This is the core. This is what it means to be born again. This is what everyone who wants to enter the kingdom of heaven must do. Now, the church does say, various documents, Lumen Gentium 16, others, that it's possible for someone who's never heard the gospel to be saved. But everyone who's going to be saved, that is everyone who enters the kingdom of God after they die, that happens because Jesus Christ died on a cross, not because of some other philosophy or worldview or whatever they had in their life. Again, the church is clear. If through no fault of their own, they never heard the gospel, the Lord won't hold them accountable, but God knows the light, how much light he's shown to the conscience of every person and how they've responded to the light that God has shown them. But they're not entering heaven because of the light, so to speak, or how they responded to it. They're entering heaven because Jesus Christ took on human flesh, died on a cross for the salvation of the world, and offered salvation through his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, and then being united to him through baptism and becoming a child of God. Not every human being is a child of God in the biblical sense. Everyone's born in the image and likeness of God, deeply loved, valued by God, of enormous dignity for that reason. But we are aliens and strangers, alienated from God because of the power of sin and death, and being trapped by the enemy, and the Lord has come to take us out of that and bring us into his kingdom life. So I just thought it'd be helpful to see this, because when we talk about, and we listen now the rest of this week to the preaching of the apostles, the church at various stages in history is in need of renewal. We hear that language a lot. Okay, well, what is renewal exactly? I mean, like fixing up our buildings, getting more new books, and what is it? No, authentic renewal is right here. Coming back to the origins, coming back to the beginnings. What happened? What is it the Holy Spirit wants us to focus on? And this is precisely what we're seeing in the ministry of the apostles. And then through the examples I gave today, and there's more I'll give throughout the week, is you see how far many, many people, even bishops sometimes in the Catholic Church, are from these foundational realities that characterize the life of the church. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.